This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I'm going to start with a nice word on the Yom Tov Pesach. Rabbi Yosel Amshnove brings on the Semunim Kadesh Irchatz. You know that the children, they say the Semunim Kadesh Irchatz with all the explanation that goes into it, the way they're taught. And he says that, you know, the Medrash says by Parsha Vayikra, you know, Yuvay Tohoirim V'yaski B'Tohoirim. Children start learning Chimesh Vayikru because Yuvay Tohoirim, which is the children that are pure, V'yaski B'Tohoirim, which is the Karbunas. It's the same thing, it comes to Seder night. The Laila Seder, the Laila Kudesh V'Tur. This is Yaski B'Tohoirim. And that's why it's the children that come and they say Kadesh, which is the Nyan of Tahara Taka. The Yuvay Tohoirim V'yaski B'Tohoirim is emphasized very much in how the Seder goes. We know V'gat Levinchu is a time that you're telling your children. But in the meantime, we're listening to them a lot. Because so much of the chinuch and so much of everything that the Seder symbolizes is all about the children. And it's Yuvay Tohoirim, V'yaski B'Tohoirim. They're a very big part of it. Not only are we addressing them and addressing each one of them based on their own needs and the Arbu Bunim de B'Tohoirim and finding a way with each one, but they're a big part of what we're trying to do. And it's a general message, both of Pesach and chinuch, you know, to understand that it's about them and not just about us. So much of chinuch is not about what we want to give, it's about who's taking it and how they're taking it and how to apply it properly and to see them as the center of attention. The chinuch is about the neschanuch, it's not about the mechanuch. And I think in the Yom Tov Pesach, which is so much about chinuch and so much about the children, you know, it just helps us focus on all the investment and all the energy we want to put into our children and find a way with each one of them. Each one of us has our own struggles and each one of them has their own struggles. And I think that, you know, when I have with the right amount of focus and emphasis and investment and a lot of siyat d'shmaya, we'll definitely find a good mahalach and a good approach with each one of the children. Let me read a question that somebody sends in over here. Hi, thank you so much for all your amazing shiurim. My 17-year-old son struggles getting up all year round, but Shabbos and Yom Tov are his strongest challenge. He sleeps in the entire day, getting out of bed for mincha on a good week. Do you have any solutions for this coming Yom Tov? This was written a year ago, probably right before Pesach. My other question is that he asks for spending money Motzei Shabbos for food and for fun. My wife says no way. She doesn't give money to unproductive people. What do you say? Thank you. What I say? What I say is that, first of all, there's a common issue, sadly. I say this about so many issues, and sometimes people are comforted by it, sometimes people get nervous from the fact that I'm making it sound like it's not terrible, but yes, it is a common issue. It's not normal, it's common. Many boys, many people in general, but many boys, maybe girls, but maybe the boys, it's more, just more noticeable with the getting up and going to shul and just expected to be functioning better than that. And sleeping in all year and Shabbos, Yom Tov, is definitely, sadly, a common issue. Now, I don't want to get into the part that I pick up on between the lines of my wife says no way, and I often mention that you want to make sure that a chinuch issue shouldn't become a shalom bayis issue. And it's sad when you see a boy struggling, and because of his struggle, now husband and wife are fighting around because we have an issue with a child. It's something you have to stay very far away from. Now, so I don't know if this is a question between you and your wife, or you're both asking the question together, or you're getting along about it. And that's a whole other topic, that if you're not getting along about it, to know how to communicate about it, and how to find the right way. But that's just something that I always like prefacing. Make sure that this does not become a new issue. Just because you have one issue doesn't mean you have to have another issue. Very important to compartmentalize and make sure that chinuch challenges remain chinuch challenges, and the solutions you're looking for are the solutions to this problem and not causing other problems, and just make sure that they, you know, stay in their own places. Now, this difficulty that you're having with your son who's struggling getting up, right? Of course, first of all, I assume you tried a lot of different things which you're not telling me, but let's just talk about it. It's important to discuss this with your son. To just make believe it's okay and not address it, I think would be irresponsible, and I don't think anyone does that anyway. I think that sometimes what people do is they address it in the moment, either when it's time to get up, or even just the night before. And, you know, by the time it's hard for somebody to get out of bed, or by the time they're in bed, and they're just feeling bad about themselves, or they're feeling pressure, or they're too lazy, or whatever else it is, that's not a time to discuss it. I think, like everything else, everything has to be discussed in the right time, in the right place, in the right way. So discussing getting out of bed early morning for somebody who's struggling like this, when it's most relevant, you know, it's obviously the wrong thing. So that's just a simple thing. Now, a lot of times I talk about not addressing things in the moment, and that's because it's emotionally challenging in the moment. Over here, I don't even know if it's because it's emotionally challenging, or it might just be impossible, you know, for somebody who has a hard time getting out of bed to talk to him at 7 a.m. about it. So that's just one thing. When you do talk about it to your son, and I have no reason to assume that he wouldn't want to discuss the topic because he's not telling me that, very often you'll hear boys that will say, and just last week I was talking to parents of a boy who says that he wants to get up. I want to get up, I can't. So we're often inclined to tell people, whether it's a child or a spouse or anyone, if you really want to, you could, right? Now, it could be it's true. And it could be we should all be telling ourselves that. That if we'd really want to be doing something, we all have things that we probably should be doing, and we claim that we want to. Yeah, if we'd really want to, we would. That's what Ein Dover Oymer Lefnei Rutzen means. We're very powerful people, and we could probably do anything. But we have to really want to. So to tell ourselves that if you can't do it, it must be you don't want to, okay. If it's a message that motivates you instead of makes you hopeless and depressed, that's wonderful. To tell it to other people is often very hurtful, either because they really convince themselves that they want to, and they're not understanding why you think otherwise, or because they at least want to convince you that, and they see that you're not believing it, and even though they know it's not true, but they're still being hurt by it. It's very important that if anyone claims, at least, that they want to do something, it's important to build to buy that narrative. Yes, I know you want to. I know not you don't want to prove it. You don't want them to say, well, if you don't believe me anyway, why should I even bother? No, I know you want to. I know you're struggling. I know it's hard. And I know you want to. When somebody understands that you believe in them, and you see them as wanting good things, and you are validating and understanding and empathizing and feeling along with them, so it's not me against you anymore. There's an issue here with a difficulty of getting out of bed. You want to do it. I would wish you could do it. And it's difficult. And I understand that it's difficult. I'm not judging you. And I'm not bashing you. Now we could talk about a solution. You're setting yourself up in a place where somebody's willing to discuss with you a solution. So of course, sometimes you look at it like, well, what do you mean? You have to come up with a solution. What do you want from me? I'll wake you up if you want. All this. I'm not part of this. It's wrong. When you join forces, and this is with everyone, and everyone in their thing that you're trying to help someone with, you know, when you give someone the feeling that you understand them and you're there for them, it makes them feel better and try to come up with something. Now, you shouldn't take it on yourself and make it sound like it's your problem. And this is something that people do. It's something that parents do, other people. When you enable someone and you just give that codependency where, okay, so you want to get up and I want you to get up, so I'll try to come up with something. I'll wake you, I'll talk to you, I'll buy you, I'll incentivize you. Now, what happens is that by the time you take more of that responsibility, you're subtly giving over the message to your son, don't worry, it's on me. Because I'm a good father, and because I'm trying to understand you and work along with you, so I have to come up with a solution. So if it doesn't work, then I'm a failure, not you. It's a very wrong message, especially when somebody's 17, but by now he's probably 18. Right? The fact that he should feel responsible is a wonderful thing. So when he tells you that he wants to, and you believe that he wants to, and all you're doing is offering help to see if you could help him with his problem that he's trying to take responsibility on, that's always much better. So even when you offer something, you know, you could always do it on your terms, but don't give a blank check, like, I'll do whatever you say, and now it's becoming my thing that I'm trying to accomplish. There are things that I could do for you, there are things I can't do for you. But if you think there's anything you could come up with that will make it easier, tell me about it. I'll try, I'll be happy to work along with you. And I think it's very important. When your son feels that you trust that he wants to take care of this, you understand the difficulty, you're willing to help, and you're encouraging, and let's see if he can come up with something that might work, I think that's something that might get you both in the right direction of him coming to terms. And again, like I said, this is Tuesday, not Shabbos. You're discussing this midday, not in the morning or at night. It just helps him understand and try to come up with something. I can't say it's a guaranteed solution at all, but it's probably getting both of you a lot closer to coming up with something that's feasible, realistic, reasonable, practical, that could work. One thing that is important, maybe I should have said it right in the beginning, but you want to avoid the bad vibes in the moment. Very often people make that mistake. You know, by the time a boy, in most cases, I don't know about your son, you didn't tell me much about him, by the time a boy wakes up for Mincha Shabbos, on the good weeks that he wakes up for Mincha, right, and he comes down 5 p.m. on a Shabbos afternoon, he's feeling miserable. He might not say it, he might not show it. He's feeling very, very low and very broken. And very often, you know, we just break broken people. You give those negative vibes. Either you tell it to him in his face, like, oh, is this normal? What's with you? Or you just give him that cold shoulder and make him feel very, very stupid, and he's going to fetch himself some food or daven in the corner or whatever it is. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. When you can make believe nothing happened, we're so often afraid to make it look like it's normal and be accepting and tolerating of something that's so intolerable, because maybe he'll think that it's okay. He doesn't think it's okay. No 17, 18-year-old boy getting out of bed 5 in the afternoon on Shabbos thinks it's okay. No 18-year-old boy thinks that you're okay with it or that you don't care, you don't mind, especially if you're talking about it on Tuesday, like we said. You don't have to be afraid to give him the smile and show him that I love you and I understand you. That's not what's going to keep him in bed. That's not what's, if anything, that's what's going to get him out of bed. And people make this mistake. He wakes up 5 afternoon to these negative vibes and all the bad feeling and all the discouraging and critical feelings. It doesn't do much for him. And that's not why he's staying in bed. I'm not going to say that's the reason, but it definitely doesn't do much to build his self-esteem and believe in himself and try to please you. So that's something definitely to avoid. Now, this issue of withholding money, Matzah Shabbos, for food or for fun, not giving money to unproductive people, like I said, if this is between you and your wife, that's a separate discussion about how to communicate this. But I think it's important to realize, let's just start with the fact that it's not working. Now, not always does everything have to work. Not always is everything being done with the intention that it works, but generally, when a boy wants to have fun and he's asking for money and you're not giving it to him, you're hoping that by not giving it to him, he's going to get out of bed earlier. Now, if it works, okay. So I don't argue with success, even if it's not always the right thing to do, but I understand why somebody would do that at least. Maybe it is the right thing to do. I'm just saying it might not be, but at least if it works. But if it doesn't work, now we have to recalculate. Now, some people will say that, listen, you're unproductive. I'm not giving you money. Right? No reason. I don't have to work along with this. It's not working, but at least I'm not going to pay for it. And that might be true. I'm not saying that you should reward dysfunction. But if your motive, first of all, is that he should get up earlier because you're not going to give him the money, I think it's important to acknowledge that it's not working. That's first of all. Now, you weren't very clear in the wording, and maybe I guess just too nitty-gritty. Your wife says that she doesn't give money to unproductive people. I don't know if she says that to him or to you. But I think it's very important to make sure that you're not calling him unproductive, right? Like I said before, you're probably just breaking a broken person. A boy that's sleeping this late, has this kind of difficulty getting up, and he's feeling bad enough about himself that telling him you're an unproductive person is not what's going to build him. It's going to break him. It'll probably distance him from you even more, right? If it wasn't enough, because you're the one that's seeing him as an unproductive person, not understanding him or judging him, whatever it is. And I think that's, first of all, something to avoid in your communication with him. In terms of giving him money or not giving him money, so here's the thing. By the time a boy is 17 or 18, he's automatically somewhat less dependent on you, probably less than you'd want. And this is how it is with teenagers. You know, when a boy is 7, 8, 10, 11, they're so dependent that there's that natural automatic leverage that you have on a child. Because if a child is doing something you don't like, you can say, listen, I love you dearly. If you want me to take you to Cheder or to school or to buy you a present or to buy you a something, or an ice cream, listen, this is how it works. Now, it doesn't have to come with any negativity. It doesn't have to come with any control or manipulation. Just the natural dynamics, the natural cause and effect of the fact that you need me and you want me and I'll help you if you function properly. Sometimes it's okay for children to realize that, listen, this doesn't work like that. You can't just get up whenever you want and I'll drive you to school. I'm not driving you to school. Okay, I love you, I want to, I'll help you get up in the morning, but if you can't get up, I'm not driving you to school. But that's only as long as a child is dependent on you. By the time you're dealing with a teenager who might be able to earn money on his own, I don't want to say take money on his own, but maybe get money from his friends, maybe find other people who are a little kinder to him than you are. So what are you doing now? Who are you competing with? You want a child to be dependent on you. You don't want him to look for money elsewhere. You don't want him to be self-sufficient and say, you know what, you're not giving me money, I'll go out for myself. Now sometimes people, they're okay with that. Okay, listen, you can find money on your own. I'm not giving money to someone unproductive. So again, I think it's a mistake, and this is where you always have to use the proper judgment to know when are you enabling a problem by giving more money than you should, and when are you just being practical and realistic and realizing that, listen, if I don't do it, someone else will. Right? I've heard from people, when it came to cigarettes or other things, there's different opinions about it, and everything has to be judged and dealt with responsibly. But the idea of, listen, if someone's going to have it anyway, come to me for it. If this teenager is going to get cigarettes and smoke, then come to me for the cigarettes, and I'll give it to you, instead of you finding it somewhere else behind my back and getting used to being less dependent and more distanced and more hiding and more dishonest and everything else. My point is just that at this age, everything has to be done responsibly. So I'm not saying that you should now be funding any kind of fun or food every Matzah Shabbos just because someone's asking, just because you want to be nice to them. Everything has to be done in moderation, with consideration. And I don't know your relationship with your boy. I don't know what he does when you do give him the money or you don't give him the money, where he goes or he doesn't go. But it definitely has to be taken into consideration, the age and stage. Now, I'm not saying that you should give him the money Matzah Shabbos after he wakes up 5 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. I think it might look a little ridiculous. Sometimes you want to just be a little more intelligent and a little more creative and give him money on Thursday morning that you can make believe he earned for whatever it was, so that you'll know he has Matzah Shabbos, the money that he wants. Sometimes. Again, I'm not advocating just giving money to whoever wants. My point is that sometimes it's better when you give the money and withholding it is not helping you anyway, and if all you're trying to do is avoid the message of, sure, get up late and I'll give you a reward for it, so you give the money another time. Or you make sure that the money's coming for a different reason, etc. I think sometimes that just looks better than giving in to demands or actually rewarding unproductivity. But it's something to think about. Now, I think when a boy is getting up this late, right, getting out of bed for Mincha on a good week, unless you're talking about Mincha Gedoyla, but even then, there's usually something bothering him. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that you could very quickly figure out what it is, not saying that it's so deep. Sometimes it's just he's feeling depressed, or sometimes he's feeling unproductive, Taka. So he's not sleeping. He's not unproductive because he's sleeping. He's sleeping because he's unproductive. Whatever it is, it's always important to not just deal with the surface issue. And this is a big mistake that we make a lot of times when it comes to children. Right? This one's fighting, this one's sleeping, this one's not going to school, this one's chutzpahdik. Now, that all those behaviors have to be dealt with. It's always good to try to figure out what's really going on with this kid. How can we help him be happier and more productive and function better and more fulfilled and not just get him out of bed? You know, getting a depressed kid out of bed is a wonderful thing. Getting a depressed kid to be happy is a much better thing. And I think that's really what we want to do. Now, so often, and I see this more and more, and I've heard this from mashgichim and professionals, so often parents are not the ones that could connect with or relate properly to a 17, 8-year-old boy who's struggling. And sometimes you might have to find someone else to do it. Don't be offended by that. If you can get a yingaman, a mentor, a big brother, whoever it is, that he can slowly talk to him and make him feel good and get him to get up earlier and feel better about himself and give him some money on the side, whatever it is, and connect with him. Don't be offended by that. Sometimes parents get intimidated by the fact that, oh, so for him you do it. Very often parents are just not the ones in the right position, with the right capabilities at this age and stage in life to be able to make that change and offer that help that somebody that's struggling with whatever it may be really needs. I'll just end with the general message that, you know, everyone in this world, I mentioned it before, we're all struggling with something. We're all struggling with something. We all want to be better in a certain area. And we all have our struggles and everyone has their struggles. So that's first of all, you know, when you look at a child who's struggling with whatever it may be, right? As much as, okay, this is not my struggle, so I can handle it. As long as it is my struggle, that's why I can handle it, because I see my own problems in my child. But whatever it is, you know, we all have our struggle. By the time a boy is 18 years old, he's a person of his own. So Yankel has his, and Burech has his, and Shloimi has his, and Mismedesh is Shul is a bunch of people that have their struggles, and in your house is a bunch of people that have them too. That's first of all. Just be understanding of it. And also another thing that's just so important to acknowledge is the fact that it's very hard to be understanding when the person struggling is a child, because we take it personally. I was talking to somebody about an issue that he was having with his child, and I said, listen, after taking everything into account and hearing everything you're describing, I'll be honest with you, I think the best thing you could do is just keep quiet and not say anything. You see, you know, you're the sixth person that's telling me that. I said, listen, if I'm the sixth person that's telling you that, it's probably the right thing to do. You're just building my confidence. Now, the reason why six people are telling you the same obvious piece of advice and still hard for you to accept is because for those six people, it's not their child. And when it's not their child, they're objective, and it's obvious that saying something is not going to help, not saying something might help or might just avoid making more damage. For the parent themselves, that's very hard to do. Now, it's possible that all those six people, if they would be in your shoes, and sometimes they are in your shoes, and they can't do what they're telling you to do. It's possible, but it's still the right thing to do. It's important to realize that when you see a child struggling, we take it personally, and it's very hard to stay calm and stay logical and stay balanced. But just acknowledging this difficulty that I'm having staying calm and balanced and logical makes me at least realize that, oh, but could be still the right thing to do, to just not say something, or be calm or be gentle and discuss it and understand my child and be patient with him and offer help and see if this works or that works and not lose myself when it keeps on happening and not try to get back at him and not try to force him, manipulate him. You know, just stay calm. It's not easy. Somebody once told me that the reason why you see people who are involved in helping others with their children are sometimes struggling on their own is because sometimes people who are struggling with their children, they realize that I must not have the right mahalach. Let me go find out from a professional what to do. So they get professional advice, and even though it's very hard to do, but they accept it, the professional said so. So they could do it. The professional knows the advice. Or at least he knows a lot of the advice, he knows a lot of the ideas. he doesn't see reason to go discuss with other people. And he's probably right. He knows all the ideas. But because he's not hearing it from someone else, he's only using his own mind. When he gets emotionally overtaken by what he's seeing in his own home, he can't apply it properly. So to go discuss it with someone, why would I discuss it with someone? I know whatever he'll tell me. I know these things. So why are you not doing it? No, in this case, it's different. His emotions are playing with him to distort what he's seeing and what he really knows, and that's why it's just hard for him to be able to do it. It's not just that it's not just that it's easier said than done, it's that when it gets personal, it's just a whole different story. Anyway, I think it's clear that when you see a 17, 18-year-old boy sleeping all day, it's very challenging. Parents take it personal, they get nervous from it, they get angry at it, they get angry about it, and it just makes it so much harder to deal with. And if you realize that, then maybe you'll just be able to be a little easier with trying what does work and avoiding what doesn't work, and being understanding of a challenge even if you can't solve it, etc. So just to recap, I think that you should address your child, not in the moment, not in a personal way, not by making him feel stupid, but by being understanding of him and his challenge. And when he is challenged and when he does wake up late, you're kind and you're soft about it. In terms of withholding money and calling him unproductive, I think it's important to think about if it's working or if it's not working, or what it might cause and how to just deal with it, like totally separately, independently. Figuring out what is bothering your child and try to see if you can have somebody who could address him and make him feel better. But the underlying issues in general, and knowing not to take this personally, to get angry at him. And with Hashem's help, in the Siyamta of Pesach, which is all about the children, understanding our children, applying whatever we could to our children properly in a way that they could accept it, understanding each child in their own way, and seeing what a big part they have in the chinuch that we're trying to apply, and getting along with your wife about this, and being on the same page, and trying to understand and help your child, with Hashem's help, we will be able to see a lot of nachas from our children, have a lechtige, kusher, freilich, yomtiv, and live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.